I'd like you to speak to this God. Is he all that you want? Is he all that you've ever needed? Begin to speak to this God. He's all. I don't know why you're here this morning, but I tell you, God is here to speak to you. God is here to minister to your need. Talk to God. Tell him why you're here this morning. Open your heart to receive from him now. Ask that the Spirit of the Lord will speak to you in a very special way. Mighty God and King, we bless your name. We exalt you. We magnify you, Father. Thank you, Daddy, for allowing us into your presence, O God, this morning. Thank you, Lord, for in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore, O God. Thank you, O God, because you are wonderful. You are beautiful, far beyond what we can ever describe. Lord, we bless your name. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will speak to us today in a special way. We ask, Lord, that you open the eyes of our hearts to see you. Lord, we bless your name. Be thou exalted, O God. I ask, Lord, that the words that I will speak this morning, O God, will come directly from you, O God. None of these words will be my words, O God, but they will all be from you. Speak, O Lord, and make us listen. Thou guardian of our souls. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. I'm going to be speaking on a four-letter word, but I'd like us to look at this passage of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, 19. I'm sure everybody knows that verse of Scripture. Is anybody that hasn't read that one before? But my God shall supply all your needs, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Reading from the Amplified Version, it says, and my God will liberally supply, that means fill to the full, your every need, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's according to whose riches? His riches. Not yours, not your need or your want, but knowing that God is more than able. So today I'm going to be speaking on this four-letter word called need. Does anybody here have a need? Anybody? Some people don't have needs. Oh, that's great. Oh, I have needs. So we're going to be speaking on need. And so I went to the dictionary and checked need. What exactly is a need? So need, the first thing there says it's a requirement or necessary duty or obligation. A need is a requirement or something that is a necessary duty or you're obligated to do some things. You know, like parents, you're supposed to take care of your children, you know, lead them in the right way. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And what will happen? When he's old, he will not depart from it. And if you don't train the child, when he's old, he will not depart from it too. You know, it's as simple as that. Train up a child in the way of the Lord. When he's old, he will continue that way. If we refuse to do that, well, we know what happens too. So there are some needs. There are necessary requirements. You should eat if you know you want to stay alive. You know, but everybody knows that is required of us. You want to stay alive, you need to eat food. How come as Christians, we refuse to eat spiritually? It is required. It is a need for you to feed on God's word to stay alive spiritually. But we feel, well, it doesn't matter. We can allow that to slide. Pray, read your Bible, fellowship. And it doesn't matter. But it's necessary. It is a need for you to grow spiritually, for you to stay alive. Not even just grow. For you to stay alive spiritually, you need God's word. Also, it says a need is something that is necessary to live a healthy life. It is distinguished from wants because a deficiency will cause a clear negative outcome, such as dysfunction or death. A need is something that is necessary for healthy life. Just as I said earlier, as children of God, do we look at the things that are necessary? We live in a society where things are turning the other way, where God expects us to stand up and live for Him every day, but we compromise. We allow things to slide. But a need, if we refuse to do the things that are necessary, we'll find out that dysfunction, like we have in the society today, or even death, will happen. Are we meeting the need of our society? Are we standing up where we should? Are we living the life that God has called us to live? Or we are allowing the standard of God to fall down? The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God does what? Lifts up a standard against it. For most of us, what we do, when the enemy comes, you try to find a way to patch it up, you know, okay, it's all right, let's compromise a little bit. Let's, if I lift up the standards, people will not come. And, you know, Jesus, at a point, he was preaching and he told them, you know, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And people said, man, this message is too hard. And they took off. And 12 people were left. Jesus didn't now tell them, oh, please, you guys don't leave. Come, I have to tone down my message now. That's not what he said. He asked them, are you guys still here? Are you not leaving? And it's important for us to ensure that the standard of God, you know that it is a necessary thing for you to keep that standard alive. Whether in school, at work, at play, wherever you are, don't try to be politically correct. Be biblically correct. That is what you need to be. Don't try to be politically correct. Try to ensure that I am biblically correct. That is where you need to stand. That is the standard that is necessary for this world to move on. If not, we are going to be having a dysfunctional society, which we have now. Because many of us in the church, we have refused to stand the way that God wants us to stand. Also, a need is a psychological feature that arouses or compels action towards a goal, giving satisfaction. It also gives purpose and direction to behavior. A need. Many people feel the need to make money. And so we go to, where do you go if you want to make money? You go to work. Exactly. Most people don't like to go to work. I mean, if it was possible that you sit down and money would just be coming to work to you, no, you won't go to work. But we see the need that, man, we need money, we need to buy things, we need to feed our family, we need something to do. And so because of that, you are compelled to go to work. I mean, you would like to sleep in. No, I don't have to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and get ready for work and get there, drive how many hours. No, not too many people like doing that stuff. But you see the need and you wake up. You get up every morning, every day, and you go to work. A need compels you to do that. There are lost souls in this world. Are we compelled to do that work? Jesus, one thing he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Are we compelled by the things that compel God? It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He sent Jesus to die for you and me. He saw the need and Jesus came down. Do we see the need today? Does it compel us? Does it arouse us to move out and do what God wants us to do? A need. The very popular one. A need is a condition of poverty, of lack, or misfortune. Maybe that's the one that most people know. When we're talking about need, oh, the person is poor, the person needs something. But I tell you, needs are important. Needs move you forward if you know how to put it in the right way. So, I ask the question, what is it exactly that I need? What do I need? And I'm sure we all ask every day, what do I need? And for most of us, what drives us, or what drives us in this world, is money. Most people think that all we need is money. If you have enough of it, you'll be fine. But as we sang, it's Jesus that satisfies. You know, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4, it says, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Wealth is worthless. At some point, there are lots of things that money cannot do. Wealth will be worthless if you don't have your health. Wealth, I tell you, is worthless if you are not headed to heaven. Wealth is worthless, but righteousness delivers from death. Let's make up our minds that we need to live righteous lives. Lives that are in right standing with God. Forget about what man's standing is. Let us ensure that we are standing right with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11. This was Solomon, King Solomon, rich guy. I mean, he had everything. And he says here, but then I looked at everything I had done and the wealth I had gained. I decided it was all a waste of time. It was like trying to catch the wind. There is nothing to gain from anything we do in this life. Many people will not agree with that statement, but I tell you, it's very true. There's nothing to gain from anything that we do personally in this life. Whatever you do in this life that will profit you must be connected with heaven. Anything you do that is not connected with heaven, it will perish. It's not going to amount to anything. You need to find, wealth, it will vanish. But Bible tells you that riches, money, it will grow wings and fly away. You can make as much as you feel you need. You'll be amazed how quickly it can disappear. But I tell you, if you stay with God, says my God, we supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And so, I know, talking about money, many people know this verse of scripture. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19, where it says, money is the answer for everything. Money answereth all things. I'm sure I'm talking about money, and people are saying, I know there's somewhere in the Bible that says that. That money answers everything. And it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, a feast is made for laughter. Wine makes life merry. And money is the answer for everything. So people quote that verse. Since the Bible says money answers everything, let me go and chase after money. But I tell you, the important thing, you know, in my study of the Bible, is that you don't take one verse of scripture and jump on it. It is always important for you to read the whole context. So I'd like us to go to the Amplified Version, and I'll be reading from verse 16 to 19. So, it says, woe to you, O land, when your king is a child or a servant, and when your officials feast in the morning. But happy are you when your king is a free man and of noble character, and when your officials feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Through indolence, the rafters, that's the state of affairs, decay, and the roof sinks in. And through idleness of the hands, the house leaks. Instead of repairing the breaches, The officials make a feast for laughter, serve wine to cheer life, and depend on tax money to answer for it all. That's really what it says. They depend on tax money. How many people like to pay more taxes? You are not taxed enough. Oh, some people agree that they are taxed enough. Yeah, I think we are taxed too much. You see, money doesn't answer everything. What he was saying is that instead of people actually doing what they are supposed to do, they just say, well, let's get some more money and patch it up. And that's all that this verse is saying. And that is what you do when you leave the things of God and pursue money. I tell you, money will chase you if you chase after God. Money will follow you. You will have more than enough if you make God your number one thing that you're looking for. Say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He didn't say you need to work for them. He didn't say that I need you to start struggling for these things. He says, I will add them unto you. Just all I want you to do is seek me first and my kingdom. Live that righteous life. But for many of us, as my brother here said, you know, doing the family business, sometimes it's so hard. We can't seem to wrap our minds around it. And say, well, God, since you say I should do it this way, I will. It's like we try to educate God and tell him, you see, God, I don't think you understand really how things go around here. You know, that's heaven. This is earth. You know, here on earth, you need to do a few things, you know, to make things work. And we try to educate God, forgetting that Jesus lived here on this planet Earth. You see, when he needed to feed 5,000 people, he didn't look for the nearest Costco or the nearest Walmart or big store to try to feed them. He even asked one of his disciples, okay, so what do you think we should do? That one said, we should send them away. Let's quickly send them away. You know, before it's too late. That even if we get one man's salary for the whole year, he won't be able to feed them. And Jesus said, he just asked that so that he could hear what they will have to say. You see, when you have needs and you meet with God, he meets those needs. 5,000 people were fed from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He needed to pay taxes. He told Peter, just go and catch a fish. Take the money and give it. How many people have caught fish with money in its mouth? I'm not a fisherman, but I know I've talked to many. I haven't seen anyone who did that so far. You know, I tell you, all these things happen. God will minister to your needs if you put him first. And as he says, there's one thing that is needed. Just one thing. Luke chapter 10, verse 42. We know this story all very well. Mary and Martha. Jesus came to their house. Just like Jesus is here today. Jesus is out there in the society. Many people ignore him. Many people decide that, oh, I have to be working, doing something else. Many people think that, oh, if I'm active, if I'm doing, you know, a lot of work, then it's okay. If I preach a lot, if I do something, then it's good. But we know the story. Martha was out there getting the food ready, preparing. Is that a bad thing? No. It wasn't a bad thing. But your timing must be right. Jesus was there. Jesus was visiting. Jesus came to their house to give them a word. And that's why at times I wonder, people come to church and the word of God is being given out. you are worshiping God and someone is just walking outside, you know, and as if, well, I just came to mark the register that I'm in church. Are you there to meet with God? It's important. One thing is needful. Coming to church is good, but that is not the one thing that is needful. Coming to meet with God is the thing that is needful. You can be here. You can mark the roster that, yes, I was in church, but you are not there. It is important to be in the presence of God. That is the one thing that is needful. Martha was there doing lots of good things, but missed out on the one thing that was needful. He says in verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, Jesus added that so that we know that it is possible for it to be taken away. Many people can start off well with God, but somewhere along the line, miss it all and feel that being active is enough. It is not. There is no time in your life as a Christian where you do not need the presence of God. You can't be so big or so small that you do not need the presence of God. It is important. Don't let it be taken away from you. Many of us, we are lied to be taken away. Oh, my friends will say I'm too holy. My friends will say that, he's too churchy. And you allow such a thing to be taken away. Oh, they won't laugh with me. They won't play with me. They won't do things with me anymore. And you are lied to be taken away. Do not allow this to be taken away from you. Luke chapter 12, verse 29 says, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. You know, I like the Bible because it always puts everything well. He says, God knows that we need these things. He didn't say that they are not important. The things that you will eat or drink, having money, being able to take care of your children, being well placed in society or whatever. God knows that we need all these things. But he says, seek first my kingdom. Seek first my kingdom. That's the way it will work. Forget about all what the, prosperity gurus and all those things are saying. Just seek me first. I will teach you how to invest. Seek me first. I will bless, the works of your hand. Seek me first. You will plant and you will find out that you will bring up 100-fold. These are the things that happen. You know, in the place where we live, we have a large backyard, and we pray for everything. And one day, my neighbor came and asked me, how come your grass seems to be growing, better than ours? I said, it's the same place. It used to be waterlogged, and your backyard used to have the most water. I said, well, we pray, that's all. I said, well, what do you mean? I said, we just pray for grass. I said, yes. You know, I tell you, there is nothing that God is not interested in when it comes to you. Even your grass outside. If it's going to benefit you, God is interested in it. Everything, God is interested. There is nothing that is too small, and there is absolutely nothing that is too big for God to take care of. Seek him first. Seek him first. Put everything in his hand. Many people will spend money, time, energy, doing things that God will just bless you with, give it to you. You'll be chasing after things. when God says, just seek me first. This, I will give it to you. I'm not saying that you need to work for it. I will give it. Add. Take. That's it. But this one thing that is needful, we need to stick with it. So, how do we actually deal with a need? When you have a need, how do you deal with it? How do we actually deal with needs? And there's so many examples in the Bible, but I picked this one. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, for those who have your Bibles, it's in the Old Testament. Chapter 20, I'll be looking at from verse 2. You know, many times when there's a need, you hear it or something. It says, some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom and some other places. Then alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. They had a need. Their city was under attack. So many kings were coming against them. And Jehoshaphat was alarmed. I don't know what news you hear. Oh, this has happened. This is happening in your family. This is happening at home. This is happening at your place of work. What do you do? How do you deal with that need? The fridge got broken. The stove broke down. The basement got flooded. How do we deal with that need? How do we deal with these needs? Jehoshaphat was alarmed. That's the first thing that happens. Wow. What's happening here? I thought I prayed. Everything should be going on smoothly. Oh God, what's this? Jehoshaphat was alarmed. But what did he resolve to do? He made up his mind to inquire of God. My prayer is that for everyone that has a need, you will go to God. You will inquire of God, what should I do next? He proclaimed a fast so that his mind could be clear and well, let me get to the crux of this matter. And he called the whole of Judah together. Let us pray and see God's face. You know, I like to read some more from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, to tell you how God answered that prayer. You know, God answers prayers. You need to know it. You need to believe it. Most people, we pray and we tell God, okay, you can be handling some parts and I'll be handling the rest. But that's not the kind of prayer that God wants. He called the entire Judah, everybody, forget what you are doing. Come now, let us pray. He didn't say, go and sharpen your swords. Go and, start working out. Let's, you know, everybody start working out and making sure that you're physically fit. He said, no. We need to be spiritually fit. That was the first thing he said. Everybody come together, let us pray. Let us be spiritually fit. Most times we look at it, I need to be fit financially. I need to be fit physically. I need to be fit socially. But you forget about being fit spiritually. Jehoshaphat looked at it and said, forget about every other thing. Everybody come together. Let us get spiritually fit. And see what God said. I'm reading from verse 13. Of the same chapter. It says, all the men of Judah with their wives and little children and little ones stood there before the Lord. It says all. It didn't say some. It didn't say most. Everybody came with their wives and their children. So they left all they were doing to come and pray. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, a Levite, and he stood in the assembly. This is what he said. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. How many of you know that that word was not just for Jehoshaphat? How many of us believe that that word is for me? Yeah, I know it's for me. Is there any other person that agrees with me? The battle is not mine. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. He says, tomorrow, march down against them. And you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerusalem. You will not have to fight this battle. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. I tell you many times, you do not have to fight. You just need to obey what God is saying. You need to just go out and do what God says. For many of us, we think we have to fight. You know, as human beings, you think you have to struggle before you get things. But God says, no. I want to give these things to you. You just need to learn how to accept them. And you say, no, I need to struggle. God says, no, that's not my way. If you want to be a part of this family business, that is not the way. You will not have to fight this battle. Just take your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. I don't know how many people here need a deliverance. I tell you, God is here this morning to bring deliverance to every problem, to every situation. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out, and the Lord will be with you. And this is what Jehoshaphat did when he got that message. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. It is always important to worship God, to give him all the glory. Even when you have the answer, still worship God. All the glory must be to God. Then some of the Levites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. You know, very early they left, and as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in God. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. It is important to have faith in this God. It is so important for you to have faith in the words that your pastor is telling you. The things that you hear from the word of God. Hear that. Jehoshaphat went out there, and God gave them victory. He says, he got people to sing. I'm now reading from verse 22. He says, as they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. They were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. How many have you ever heard anything like that happen? Three sets of people came to attack you. Three different problems came together. And God said, okay, two, start dealing with number three. They annihilated them. Finish them. Okay, one and two, start killing yourselves. And they finished themselves. I tell you, we look at it and say, oh, that was Bible days. But I tell you, these things still happen every day, even today. There are situations and problems that will come. And instead of bringing you down, those situations will lift you up. That is God working. We just need to allow God to do things. When people are shouting that there is a casting down, you will be shouting and praising God there is a lifting up. We need to understand the workings of God. We just need to have faith in this God. Trust him. Know that what he says is true. Know that what he says he will do, he will do. So my question is,
Are you needy? Are you one of those people that they say you are needy? I hear people say, oh, my wife is needy. My child is needy. My spouse is needy. All those needy people. You know, are you needy? I like to tell you that God loves people who are needy. God is interested in people who are needy. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What will happen? Wow, man, we need to read our Bibles more. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, what will happen? They will be filled. Thank you. Okay, great. I thought I was in the wrong place or something. Okay. Psalm 9 verse 18 says, but God will never forget the needy. God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. Whatever needs you have, I'd like you to know today for sure that God will never forget the needy. Psalm 72 verse 12 says, for he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will deliver the needy who do what? Who do what? Cry out. Many people, you have a need and you keep it. You don't cry out to God. He will deliver the needy that cry out. He's not saying he will deliver the needy who find a way to solve their problems on their own. He's not telling you that the needy who can plan it out and make sure it works out for them are the ones that he will deliver. He will deliver the needy that cry out. I don't know what your need is. I'm here to tell you there's no need that is too small. And there's no need that is too big for you to cry out to God. You need to cry out to this God. He didn't say just mention it to him. Cry out to God. Let him know that I have a need. This a need that will compel you, that will motivate you, that will push you forward. We see a need in this society, in this Dunville. That's one of the reasons why this church is here. To bring the word of God into this city, into this town, into this environment. Is God moving you along? Are you needy in this regard? For some people have problems in their families. He says in Psalm 107 verse 41, he says, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. You see, I don't know what your need is. Whether it's at home, at work, God is there to minister to your need. He will lift up the needy. You know, when you have needs, it's like you're downtrodden, you're feeling down and out. But God says, I will lift up the needy. No matter what your needs are, I will lift you up. I am right there. Even if it's a family problem, I am still there to take care of those needs. Families, whatever the need is, there is no need that is too small. I'm sure I've said this a few times, but I'm saying it again. And there's no need that is too big to bring to God. It may look like it is hopeless. I have tried. I have talked to him. I have talked to her. I have done this. I've done that. Nothing is happening. But I tell you, cry out to God. This need will be met. He will lift up the needy. Don't get tired of talking about it. Don't throw it away and say, well, I don't need this anymore. That is what most people do. They give up. Forget about it. But don't. I want to tell you that even in the house of God, there are needs. There can be needs in the house. And in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, we see God saying something. He says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But, I found no one. But, I found no one. I pray that that will not be the story for this church, for your town, for your home, for your society, for your place of work, for your school. I'd like you to understand that wherever you are strategically placed there by God. You are not just there by mistake. You are in that school because God wants you to be there. It's not just because, well, it's the school that everybody goes to in Donville. That's not why you're there. You have been placed there by God. You're in this church because God wants you here. And God has an assignment for you. It says, I looked for a man. I looked for a man that will stand in the gap, that will help build the wall. But I found none. There is a need in the house of God. Are you there to meet that need? Are you the one that will answer, here am I, send me? Most of us answer, here am I, send brother, you know, send pastor out. You know, yeah, he's fully paid for that. You know, just send him. You know. I believe it's important that you should know where you are in your own house. You are there because God is still looking for a man that will stand in the gap. God is looking for a man that will stand in the gap and build the wall. The wall that is decaying, that is broken down, that we have allowed compromise to come in. God wants us to build those walls back up. Where we honor and respect God wherever we are. Where you stand tall boldly and declare that I am for Jesus. Where to you it is not a shameful thing to declare that I am a child of the King. Where going out on a Sunday morning, people will recognize that yes, this person has gone to church. Most people, you want to behave like, well, I just went out to play basketball like the other fellows. You know, you don't want it that people, when they see you outside, you will identify that, yes, this person is coming from church. You want it to be, oh, yeah, just want to look like everybody out there. Hello. God is looking for people who will stand in the gap. There are needs in the house. Romans 12, verse 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. It is important to share with God's people who are in need. Do we see needs in the house? Do we see needs in the church? Share. Money, time. Most of the time, we think sharing has always to do with money. But I tell you, money is not the only thing that you can share. Time. Just a good word. A hug, a shake. A word of encouragement. Just sitting down with the person would do good. It is important. You know, Joseph was in prison. He was right there in prison. He was in prison. He was one of the few prisoners who go to prison for the wrong reasons. And he was there. Of course, everybody in prison says that they are not guilty. But but truly, he was not guilty. And he was there. But yet, he could see that there were some other prisoners that had needs. He was able to see that the king's baker was having a problem. They didn't come and tell him. He was the one who went to ask them. It seems there's a problem. You're looking a little bit low here. Do we see other people's needs? Or our own so much just consumes us that we are not allowing God to use us anymore? Share with God's people. That is what God wants us to do. And I tell you, when you do that, even your own needs, God will take care of them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Love. Let's love. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's the commandment God gives us. Love your neighbor. Love. In the house of God, do we truly love one another? You see, if you love someone, you'll be able to tell him the truth. If you love someone, you'll be able to tell that person, "Hello, I know you won't like to hear this, but the truth is that what you're doing is not right." But many a times we just allow things because the society says it's okay. We feel, well, I shouldn't say anything. Are we bound by the society or we're bound by the things of God? It's important for you to know where you stand. Jesus was not bound by the things of this world. He defied gravity. He walked on water. Fire could not burn him. He was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, these are things that normally a crowd wanted to stone him to death. And he just walked right through them. I tell you, this same grace, this same anointing that God had, that Jesus had when he was here on earth, he has given it to every one of us. We need to walk in the grace that God has given us. And so my question really is, for everyone here, do you have a need? Do you have a need? Are you thinking of the souls that are out there? Are you thinking of what will compel you to do God's work? I spoke with a brother here some years ago. And he was saying he goes out there to the streets to preach. Because he's compelled to do that. In your school, in your place of work, wherever you are you compelled by the things that move God? Many people will say like Moses, God, start looking for an excuse. I'm a stammerer. I'm shy. Or start looking for some excuse out there. I'd like us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It's one of my most read verses in the scripture. I love it. I'm going to read what the NIV says, a mixture of the NIV and King James. It says, "And my God shall supply," no, it says, "and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." The Amplified Version says it like this. "And God is able to make all grace, that is every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation." I'd like you to know that God is able to make all grace abound to you for whatever need you have. The grace of God is out there so that in all things and at all times, you will have all that you need and you will abound in every good work. God wants us to do good works. God is there. His grace is sufficient for us. Let us pray. I don't know if you have a need. I don't know what your need is this morning. I'd like you to speak to God. God is able to make all grace, whatever kind of grace that you need this morning, so that your needs will be met. God is able to make that grace abound to you.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to you. I need thee, oh, I need. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
There's one need that's important. If you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to do that now. If there's anyone here you want to give your life to Jesus, I'd just like you to wave your hand and we'll pray with you. Just wave your hand and we'll pray with you. For the rest of us, yes, God bless you. You can see that hand. For the rest of us, I'd like us to pray for our needs. Spirit of God is here. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't know what, I know we've prayed already for needs, but the Spirit of God still wants us to pray. If you have a need, I'd just like you to stand up at this time. Just stand up and speak to God if you know you have a need. I'd like you to tell God that need or the needs. God wants you to cry out to Him about your needs. Every one of us has a need. Some don't. But God is here to minister to every need. Mighty God and King, I bless your name. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise, O God. Yes. Father, Lord, you see your children out here who are standing up, yes, asking you, O God, to minister to their needs. Mighty Lord and King, I ask, Daddy, that you will minister to every need here, O God. For everyone that is crying out to you now, O God, I ask, Father, Lord, that you will answer every need, O God. Lord, I pray, O God, even for the lady who raised her hand to give her life to you, I pray, Father, Lord, that your spirit would take charge, O God. I ask, Father, Lord, that you would speak to her spirit, O God, and she will know you as Lord and Savior, O God. Father, we bless you, we worship you. We give you glory, we give you honor. We give you praise, O God. Thank you for your word, O God. Yes. I pray, O Lord, that this word will compel us to, yes, do your will, to do your work at all times. Thank you, Father, for everything. Yes. For it's in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Yes. Amen.